a $20 a month minimum contribution. Become a sustaining member today. Grab those tickets. Conversation between Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco on Saturday, May 27th, 877-500-5266.
Right on. And getting back to Joanne Hardesty Show.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee is the third Thursday of each month at 5 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco on Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Journalist Chris Hedges and award-winning cartoonist Joe Sacco wrote the best-selling book, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt, together. Their talk includes a discussion about sacrifice zones, areas in America that have been offered up for exploitation in the name of profit, progress, and technological advancement. Again, that's Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco, Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, good morning. I am Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. I am so excited this morning. We are making our family bigger here at KBOO. We are midway into our pledge drive for the season, and I have the pleasure of interviewing Sean King this morning. Life doesn't get any better. Let me tell you a little bit about Sean King before I invite him to join us. If you were one of the fortunate people on April 4th to witness him in person at the Arlene Schnitzer Hall, Sean King was here as part of the World Affairs Council's speaker series program. And it was a full house, and it was a fabulous, fabulous program. And so let me tell you a little bit about Sean before I invite him in. His bio reads as follows, and I don't normally read the whole bio, but this one is so wonderful. I hope Sean will bear with me while I read it. Today, there are critical conversations ripping across North America, conversations happening on social media, on campuses, in the streets, and around dinner tables. In greater numbers, people are talking about real empowerment and liberation for historically disadvantaged groups. When it comes to Black Lives Matter movement, they're talking specifically about human dignity for African Americans. And for this movement, journalists, humanitarians, and activist Sean King, the senior justice writer for the New York Daily News, is among the most compelling voices. A humane and passionate advocate for justice and families, and an extremely visible fundraiser for victims of brutality and discrimination. Sometimes people wonder who they might be and what role they might play if they were alive during the civil rights movement of the 60s, mass marches, signs reading I am a man, fire hoses, police dogs, and bloody batons. Distant history, but not as removed as we might think. 2015 saw the deadliest hate crime against African Americans in our lifetime via Charleston. It also saw more African Americans shot and killed by police than in any single year of lynching since 1902. We have 10 times more black folks in jail today than we did in 1955. All is not well. Leaders like Sean King has helped us see how racism is not dead and forgotten, but merely a mutilating virus, and one that manifests in different forms in every age. Racism, mass incarceration, policies that criminalize blackness in the 21st century, these problems won't solve themselves. And that's why King's voice and perspective are so important. As a magnetic element of the Black Lives Matter movement, King helped us see our present place in the larger current of American history. He's adopted social media to rally and unite people of disparate backgrounds. He uses his platform as senior justice writer for New York Daily News and previously Daily Cause to help us stay informed, to unearth the truth beyond local media, and to organize in purposeful and directed ways. Moreover, he reminds us that we can take whatever we do best, whether we lobby, speak, litigate, organize, write, or more, and tilt that practice towards justice. As a speaker, Sean King offers an articulate and historically grounded take on the most pressing problems of the day. This generation has its own challenges, challenges for which we need real and applicable solutions. Instead of wondering who we'd be and what we'd do if we were alive in the 60s, or assuming progress will just march along without our help, King asks us to see our present place in the modern movement for a more equitable world. If every generation operates on a set of principles, then we need to judge our own by looking clearly and without rose-colored glasses on the values we live by. As King argues, it's not enough just to be a little bit better. In fact, that's never been enough. We must each ask ourselves, what's my best contribution to this world? In addition to his work with the New York Daily News, Sean King is a political commentator for Tom Joyner Morning Show. He lives in Brooklyn with his wife and their 5 young kids. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Sean King.
Hey, it's good to talk to you. I'm glad to be on. You know, this whole time, I knew I was going to be on this show.
Right.
But I didn't know it was you.
Oh,
like, I knew I was going to be on a morning show.
Right.
As soon as I heard you, I said, oh, I know her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is very...
I'm glad to be on.
I feel the love back at you. I am so thrilled to have you on today. You may have heard in my announcement that we are in the middle of encouraging people to become members. So I will be interrupting a little bit so that we can...
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay. And I know you love community media, right? Because you understand the importance of that.
Absolutely. And we live in a day and age where we need independent journalism and independent media that can call truth to power. So I encourage... all your listeners and supporters to chip in. Don't just listen and enjoy it and grow from it. Support it, and it's a worthwhile investment. You know, not only there in Portland, but all over the country. And so I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. And any way I can help, just let me know.
Okay, well, I think we're gonna pull you in when we go in and start encouraging members, because you already got your pitch down.
I believe in it. I believe in it, and. You know, it's why I do what I do as a journalist myself, and I'm thankful. You know, the Daily News is actually owned by a wealthy billionaire. It's not really the picture of independent journalism, but the right. Daily News has really allowed me to really say what I want to say and write what I want to write, and so I'm thankful to have that opportunity. But most people don't get that chance, and so community media is essential. I think probably more valuable today than it's ever been.
And that is absolutely true. And so, Sean, Portland is still buzzing from you being here on April 4th. And we're buzzing because of how you're able to really connect. What was that?
All right. I think it's just it's something strange in the background. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. No worry.
For people who are not there, your ability to tell the story about really what's happening in our time was just absolutely remarkable. And the role that you have been playing all across the country. So let's have that conversation. Let's talk about what you've been experiencing. After reading your bio, clearly your bio really, it spoke to me when I read it on your site, and it spoke about exactly what you talked about when you were here, which is the time that we're living in and what everybody can do in this time.
Yeah, you know, it's not enough. Like, I love doing what I do. I love being able to teach people about where we are as a country. I love being able to expose injustice, but that's not enough for me. Like, what I'm trying to do as a journalist and as a leader is to motivate people, particularly in their own cities and states, to figure out how they can make a difference. And people want to do it, and I think what we're finding is we've talked a lot about change, and even President Obama was kind of elected on a platform of change.
Right.
In a lot of ways, he was elected, and the thought was, wow, let's hope he can bring change. But what we're finding is people don't really know how to make change happen themselves.
Yes.
And what I've decided to do, and I didn't get here quickly, what I decided to do was, instead of being frustrated that people don't quite know what to do and that a lot of people appear to be sitting on their hands and not really doing some of the essential work, instead of just being frustrated about it and making people feel weird about how little they're doing, my MO has been to try to get in there and show people, listen, you have a lot more power than you know, and there are essential things you can do in your own hometown, there in Portland, or wherever you are, to really make a difference. Like, case in point, in Philadelphia, they just elected a new district attorney, a man named Larry Krasner. And I kid you not, Joanne, Larry is probably the most revolutionary district attorney now in America. Philadelphia's had not just terrible problems with police brutality, but they lead the nation among all large cities in mass incarceration. And Larry Krasner is a civil rights attorney. And he not only has represented people from the Black Lives Matter movement, but he's represented activists in Philadelphia for decades. And he's prosecuted police officers and the police department. And he's just a bulldog of a guy. And he got elected as district attorney this past Tuesday.
Wow.
And when he got elected, it was deeply encouraging to me and to so many others, because it showed us that local activism, local politics, it matters. And to see him elected, I think, sent shockwaves throughout the criminal justice community, because what we see is what Philadelphia just did with Larry Krasner, cities all over the country can do. Portland can do. Seattle can do. New York and Los Angeles can do. And so what we're trying to show people is, like, listen, your vote matters, your voice matters, what you do with your money matters. But they just haven't taken advantage of the power they have. And what I try to do when I came to Portland is just show people, listen, our problems are severe, and they're going to stay just as bad as they are or get worse if you don't get in there and make a difference. And that's what you've been trying to do your whole life. I just think that we're at a point where we can't just talk about it. We got to get in here and do it, you know?
I so appreciate hearing you say that, and you're absolutely right. It's silence is no longer an option. Sitting on the sideline is no longer an option. And we're going to bring in these fabulous women who are going to help us raise money for KBOO today. I want to welcome Lisa, and I'm so sorry. Who's back there with Lisa
it's
Loving?
Jenna.
It's Jenna. Jenna, I'm so sorry, Jenna. I had a senior moment there for a second. I have those every once in a while. Now, I know we have a goal today. What is the goal for this program?
The goal for this program is $1,600.
Oh, and is that all?
Yeah, we're encouraging people to give us a call, 877-500-5266. We're strongly encouraging people to make a $20 a month contribution, specifically that. If you give us a call or come in person to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here in beautiful Portland, Oregon, we'd love to see you. And if you give us a call and make that $20 a month contribution, we can give you a pair of tickets to hear Chris Hedges on his Stop Fascism tour through the West here. It's a national tour. So you could either get tickets to his Friday speech or tickets to the Saturday conversation between Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco. They together made this incredible graphic book about deep politics. That is going to be one of these kinds of intellectual conversations that completely informs your action. And we just don't get that very often. It's kind of like connecting the heavens to the grassroots, to be honest. That's the way I see it. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We're also strongly encouraging people, if you're listening already, you may already be a member. Mm-hmm. So we're strongly encouraging people to consider a gift membership. You can actually make a gift membership for an incarcerated person. Our volunteer coordinator sets those up with the penitentiary in Sheridan. Radio is really important when you're incarcerated. I'm putting that out.
Yes, it is.
But also, we're strongly encouraging people who may be already a member to consider giving a gift membership to the new interim director of the FBI. His name is Andrew McCabe.
He needs
and
one. He
yeah,
needs
you one. Know, consider giving that to the guy. We've got his address. Another possibility is that you might consider giving a gift membership to Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler.
Oh, yes.
We have his office address. You know,
our wonderful police commissioner.
Don't get me started.
Let's not go there. Yes, yes. Not enough time.
You will go there. You will go there in a few minutes. 877-500-5266. Again, we'd love to see your bright and shining morning face. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Come down here. You know there's traffic everywhere in the zone. Come down here. Spend a quiet few moments in the building.
Get a cup of coffee.
We'll give you a cup of coffee. We'll toast you a frozen waffle.
We'll
they're delicious. And you can become a member. Get those Chris Hedges tickets and support the kind of programming where Joanne Hardesty brings Sean King right into your vehicle, right into your living room, because that's what's happening right now. Sean King, we honor you. We're so happy to have you on these airwaves.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Can we admit that we're kind of like fangirling over here?
We're fan stationing. I mean, the work that you have done is amazing.
Yes, it is.
And so we want to be able to get back to your programming. 877-500-5266. Give a gift membership or come in person and just empty out your wallet on the table. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. And back to our show.
Excellent. I got to tell you, yes, this has been, women have been like, oh, Sean King. I can't believe it. Sean King's going to be on.
You know, I think what it is we live in this time where it's a deeply emotional time.
Yes.
Where we're not just frustrated, we're even afraid. And it's encouraging when we see other people who are standing up and speaking out, who share some of the same values,
yes,
and are
yes.
trying to fight back fearlessly. And so, you know, I'm honored that, you know, even to be on here, and I'm hopeful that we'll zoom through that $1,600 goal while I'm on
exactly.
and take care of that right away.
I hope so, too. And we're going to check back in a little while, but I know people are just so thrilled that we're having this conversation. But I want to get right back to where you stopped, which is this is a time that we have to be fearless. We have to not be stopped by the fear that presents us from taking direct action. You talked a lot about the work that you do on the ground with families who've suffered at the hands of the police, and your work directly with families. In fact, when you were here, you had just come from visiting a family who was still struggling with the aftermath. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, just the day before I arrived in Portland, I had spent the previous day with the family of Jordan Edwardson. Jordan, just about 3 weeks ago, he's just a brilliant 15-year-old boy living right outside of Dallas in a town called Balk Springs. And Jordan was out with his two older brothers. They're 16 and 17 years old. Just great boys, great students, and great athletes and leaders there in their community and at their school. And they were at a house party, just a random house party. It was a really good weather night that night in Dallas. And the party had just gotten a little raucous. And Jordan and his brothers decided to leave. They were in their dad, you know, their dad, who I've come to know, Odell, let them borrow his car. And Odell had taught them, hey, if you're ever somewhere and it gets a little weird, just leave. So somebody had called the police just on because of the noise at the party. And as Jordan and his brothers were literally pulling out of the driveway and got into the road, a police officer shot a rifle into their car. And when we first heard that this happened, the thought was, did he think the boys were going to back over them? Or like, how in the world could that have happened? Well, body camera footage ended up showing that Jordan and his brothers, they weren't peeling out or driving crazily. They'd already pulled out of the driveway, and the officer shot through the passenger side window and killed Jordan, shot Jordan in the face with the rifle. And, you know, I was there with the family just 4 days after Jordan had been shot and killed. And the pain, Joanne, was so thick and heavy and real. And not just the pain, but the shock, mm-hmm. the dismay, the inability to even make sense of what had just happened.
Right.
Yeah, he was the baby boy of the family, and in a lot of ways, he was a star even in that house. And like most parents, you know, there are things we wish of our kids that we never got to experience. And Odell and Charmaine didn't go to college. Odell owns a trucking company, and he's done well to provide for his family. But they had just huge dreams for Jordan. He had a 4.0 in school, and unless you've been a parent, you would struggle to understand what it means to have raised a brilliant black boy mm-hmm. for 15 years mm-hmm. and see him snatched from you in an instant.
Right.
And so when I had gotten to Portland, my heart was still very much there with Jordan's family, it's something I don't think that will ever leave me. I feel in a lot of ways what police did to Jordan, it reminds me deeply of the murder of Emmett Till. Emmett was also 15 years old, was just a brilliant shining light in his family, and even actually local police participated in protecting the men who did that to Emmett Till. And that's what we're experiencing now in a lot of ways, Joanne. Police brutality is our modern-day lynching in
yes.
America.
Yes.
And so they arrested the officer, thankfully, and pretty much exclusively because of that body camera footage.
Right.
But what we saw just yesterday in Tulsa
yes.
is, you know, a brother was shot and killed by an officer, Betty Shelby. Mm-hmm. The brother's name was Terrence Crutcher. And it was on camera. She had been charged with manslaughter, but the jury still found her not guilty. And so we're not celebrating that they charged this officer.
Right.
That's what they should have done.
Right.
It's charging an officer is not justice.
No.
They have to find, this man has to be found guilty. And the truth is, and I said this in Portland, I don't know how anybody can ever make this right. You know, I don't,
right.
like, these things are so, yes, hold the man accountable. He needs to be found guilty. But some things are so horrific that I don't even know how justice itself is possible.
You know, I'm working with a family here, Irene and Tony Kalonji, who lost their son, Christopher, at the hands of Clackamas County sheriffs a year ago in January. And I think what the public doesn't know, right, when this story leaves the front page, what is left in the wake of that family. And so in this particular case, this family still hasn't been able to find a lawyer to defend their, to actually sue, right? Because there were guns in the house. And anytime there are guns in the house, lawyers are reluctant, right? Because because of the police narrative. So that's one. Two, they had to leave their apartment and they have a $15,000 bill because the Clackamas County sheriffs destroyed their apartment and the landlord sent them the bill. The third injustice is that they got a death certificate from the Multnomah County coroner calling the death a suicide.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is the stuff that the regular public has no clue that the
people don't understand that when, and it doesn't just have to be these fatal incidents of police brutality, but that when you experience any type of injustice like this, these are people who are just living their lives.
Yes.
And
hardworking taxpayers, right.
Yeah, they didn't have any time to prepare for it. They aren't really given the space to mourn.
Yes.
Often they when you are killed by a police officer, the police department does not pay for your funeral. They don't. There's no. These families often. I experienced this even with the family of Jordan Edwards. They didn't have money. They didn't have money for his funeral.
Right.
We were having to rush.
Yes.
To raise the money, and then struggle to make sure that the money we raised got to their account in time.
Right.
Because they didn't have money to pay for a casket or a burial plot. Who has that? Nobody has that money.
And who's planning that at 15? Right. Right.
Right. Right. Nobody's ready for that. And so when you experience this injustice,
yes,
we often see it as a news article. We see it as a hashtag on social media.
Yes.
But what these families experience is far, far worse.
Yes.
And real and just deeply painful. And so it's sadly, most people will never fully grasp it until it happens to somebody they know or love.
Right.
And the tragic part of that is police brutality is so widespread that eventually it will happen to somebody you know or love or are connected to in some way or another. And my hope and prayer is just that our listeners today don't wait until it happens to them or somebody they care about until they speak out and try to make a difference. And what I said in Portland, Joanne, is that police brutality is not a necessity for American policing.
No, it's not.
There are better ways of policing. There are better ways to do this where police can still be safe and protect themselves. Communities can still be safe without there being police brutality.
Yes.
It is an optional part of American policing we could and should get rid of.
On that point, I'm going to go and invite Lisa and Jenna in so we can thank our fabulous new members or renewing members or upping members. And I'm sure they're calling 877-500-5266 because they know and love that I'm talking to the Sean King, an opinion leader at the national level, really around identifying this critical current civil rights issue. I would say one of the biggest ones of our lifetime. What are you going to do? Are you going to be part of the solution, or are you going to still kick back and say, well, it's not that bad. It's getting better, isn't it? I hear that a lot of times when I talk to folks. Well, but isn't it getting better? No, it is not getting better. 877-500-5266. So, Jenna, Lisa, how are we doing out there?
We're having a slow start. We need more people to give us a call. 877-500-5266. Invest in KBOO Community Radio. Mm-hmm. Invest in the kind of programming that you're hearing right now with Joanne and Sean talking about the deepest, deepest underpinnings of, I'm just going to say it, white supremacy in our government systems. Mm-hmm. And we love it if you come in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. And we have some people to thank. Jenna, you want to thank them?
Yeah, first we got Annalise in Milwaukee renewing.
Yay!
Thank
Yay!
You. Philip in Portland is also renewing.
Yay!
Jenna from Southeast is renewing.
And getting a hoodie.
Getting a hoodie.
Way
Yay.
To go, Jenna!
So for just that $20 a month contribution, actually, I think the hoodie is $25 a month, actually. So if you're looking forward to that KBOO hoodie, so you can, when you're walking around Portland, show people what kind of programming you support,
yes.
Give us a call at $25 a month at 877-500-5266. And you're going to call them because this program that's happening right now, Voices of the Edge, first of all, who doesn't love Joanne Hardesty and all the quality programming you bring? Joanne, let's just face it, you bring on some guests that make me just think, right? And that's the point of
KBOO. That's a radical act.
Yeah, the thinking and just bringing on Sean Keane, it just shows the level of discussion that we have here at KBOO and that we want to be having here at KBOO. I'm just going to, you know, get a little fan station here, as we said, with Sean Keane. And one thing I really appreciate that he called out a few months ago through his own social media was talking about Portland mm-hmm. and how we're this quote-unquote progressive city that, you know, acts like we're so liberal.
Mm-hmm.
But as, you know, as Joanne's talking about here, look at what happens in our own local news, talking yes. about Christopher Kalonji and recently with the Hayes family and everything mm-hmm. that, you know, here in our city that we love to tout ourselves as progressive Portlandia, you know, but Joanne Hardesty, Voices from the Edge, they bring you that kind of discussion that says, let's talk about the truth. Let's talk about really what are the issues here that we need to be talking about, our own levels of brutality and oppression that Portland just, oh, we just love to not talk about it. So give mm-hmm. us a call because this is the type of programming that you want to be hearing. You support 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266.
I have to say this again, that when we're talking about where your money goes mm-hmm. here at KBOO, when you give us a call and make that contribution, 877-500-5266, you're getting the programming, like you're hearing Joanne and Sean talking right now about basically, as we already said, pretty much the most crucial issue in the United States right now that's affecting, it's affecting the education system, it's affecting the incarceration system, it's affecting the electoral system. I'm putting that out, okay? But the thing that gets me is when you make a contribution to this radio station, one of the places your money goes is in journalism training, citizen journalism training, radio training,
yes.
live radio training. And these trainings are all offered free. You know, KBOO, if you come in, we'd love to see you in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We've already said it. We've got the hot coffee. We've got the frozen toaster waffles. We've got excellent quality Winco syrup to put on those. But I'm saying, you know, it means something that you're joining this community. It means something that you're investing your money where you believe. The money you give to KBOO is not going to the war.
That's right.
Putting that out. The money that you give to KBOO, you know, it stays here in the local community. It grows legs. It educates people. It brings in people for the youth collective. We've had a youth collective mm-hmm. for years. That's where your money goes. Lovely. And 877-500-5266. One other thing. If you are already giving at a $10 level, if you give us a call, we can raise that to the $20 level, and you can get these tickets to see Chris Hedges talking about stopping fascism. We've got the awesome gift memberships, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like someone should call 877-500-5266 and gift Andrew McCabe, the interim FBI director, with a KBOO membership. You know, in my heart of hearts, mm-hmm. these people actually take that and they listen to it. I do you think that the FBI loves the presidency? No. You know, when we're talking about, you know, do the police love the mayor of the city? No, they don't. It's like when we start looking at these different communities of people that are part of the fabric of our society, that's when you, as a KBOO listener, realize the strength of your own resources. Mm-hmm. 877-500-5266.
Give us a call right now. Joanne?
Yes.
When you are sitting there and, you know, you're doing all this, I don't know, just bringing on all these people and bringing all these voices, do you just like feel, oh man, I am just contributing to the city and trying to just build up the truth?
Because
that's
region.
What I feel like region. What you're doing. I'm just like, Joanne,
hey,
keep bringing us the truth.
Yes, I have to bring you the truth directly through your radio dial, because that's the only way we're going to build the coalition, the multiracial, multigenerational coalition that's going to turn this country around. 877-500-5266. As Sean King says, each of us have a role. What I have seen, Sean, and I don't know if you're having the same experience, I think I've gone through an epiphany over the last week. Since the election, there have been these new groups that have sprouted up. Oh my gosh, we're under attack. We got to save ourselves. We got to save the planet. We got to save each other. And they are well-meaning. They are motivated. But are they not just reinforcing the status quo if they are not engaging directly with the communities most impacted by police violence?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes people, I say it like this, sometimes people struggle to understand the oppression and the pain that people not like themselves are experiencing. And it's not that people are being deliberately insensitive when we see, you know, groups rise up and complain about their own struggles, because they, your struggles are, in your context, your struggles are serious and severe. But we have a real problem in our country of kind of empathetically understanding the pain of other people groups. And one of the things that I think you and I really agreed with each other on, you know, there in Portland, is part of being an intersectional leader is caring, you know, most passionately about the problems that affect you and your family, your community, but extending yourself beyond that really closed circle. And I admitted when we had a private event there in Portland, that was not something I had really done for most of my life. For most of my life, I have fought almost exclusively for Black people and for the Black community. It was really only over the past few years that I began to really understand kind of the embodiment of Dr. King's quote that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Yes.
And that I needed to make it my business to fight for immigrants in this country, to fight for,
yes,
to fight for Muslims in this country.
Yes.
And you know, like, I have people all the time who literally ask me if I'm a Muslim, because they see me advocating so strongly for Muslims, they assume I'm a Muslim. And that's probably the greatest compliment I've ever gotten, because I'm not a Muslim, I'm a Christian. But if you see me fighting so passionately for my Muslim sisters and brothers that it makes you think I am a Muslim, then that means I'm doing it right.
And yes, yes.
All of us should take up causes that may not appear to be our direct cause, but we're just a few people away from that affecting us. And so I found it immensely fruitful. I've grown so much as a person because I've expanded who and what I'm fighting for beyond my own small closed circle. And I hope your listeners do the same. There are plenty of issues to fight. Fight for the environment.
Right.
Fight against global warming. Those are things that I traditionally have not cared that much about,
mm-hmm.
but now I see we need people to fight for those things, but we also need you to sometimes pivot beyond that and fight against the local forms of injustice. And then people like myself need to do the same. So now I do speak out on global warming and environmental racism. I speak out on the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that traditionally I didn't really understand how those mattered to me and our community. But now I see it's all injustices, all deeply interconnected. And that there's a money trail there as well.
Yes.
Of the same people who benefit,
yes,
from these forms of injustice are often the very same interest groups and economic interests. And so they're deeply connected for sure.
I absolutely agree with that. You know, my mantra is that if number 45 creates a Muslim list that you have, yeah, to sign up, I will become a Muslim that day, right? If they develop a list for Latinos, I'm going to sign up and I will become a Latino that day, right? Because we are all interconnected, and what impacts one of us certainly impacts the rest of us. We do have a caller on the line. So, Sean, I'm going to take a good morning, Camilo. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Sean. I just want to first say that I am a member and contributor and have been ever since I moved to Portland.
Yay. 6 years ago. We appreciate you. Thank you.
And I want to kind of make a confession that echoes the comment that you've made about how serious these issues are and how people fail to appreciate the fact that they continue to be severe. I'm well-educated, well-read. I've been involved as an activist for 50 years, but not until reading Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow did I appreciate the extent and severity of the problems that you're talking about as they affect the black community and as they affect the society at large.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be interested in hearing what Sean has to say about the difference that has occurred over time in the past 50 years since the start of the civil rights movement to what we are experiencing now due to the changes in criminal justice, Supreme Court decisions, the economic situation, and the way that society has essentially executed a new kind of social control over the black communities through these changes.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, that's a great question. That book, The New Jim Crow,
mm-hmm.
was a pivotal book for me as well. I mean, I learned so much from it. And I think what Michelle Alexander really unpacked, and it gets to the heart of your question, is just how complex our systems of oppression are in our country. That it's, you know, we sometimes reduce them to a single word, racism, or sometimes right. we reduce it even to saying it's white supremacy. And both of those things are true, but what Michelle Alexander really showed masterfully is that the new modern systems of oppression
yes.
took decades and decades to build,
yes.
thousands of new laws,
yes.
thousands of new jails.
Yes.
And what the new Jim Crow really was a blueprint showing just how complex and massive these current systems of injustice are. And why I think that was such a great service that she did for us is I think we were greatly oversimplifying our problems in the country. And what she really showed with literally hundreds and hundreds of footnotes and sources
yes.
that no, that, yeah, there may be principles like racism and bigotry and white supremacy that undergird these systems, but these systems are complex, and they require smart, complex, robust solutions. And I think we're just now, as a nation, we're just now starting to get more than a few of us. We're now starting to get thousands and thousands of people who say, "Ah, I see it. This is a massive, complex problem that warrants a corresponding massive complex solution."
Yes.
And one of the reasons why we've struggled to solve a lot of our problems is that we've just greatly oversimplified them. And so Michelle Alexander, I think, did a brilliant job unpacking just how complex the problems are. And it's up to us on the local level in yeah. Portland, in Oregon, and you know, they were right earlier, is that I love Portland. Portland's a beautiful, brilliant place, but there are some deep, ugly systems, not yes. only in Portland, but throughout Oregon.
Yes.
That really haven't gotten the attention they deserve. And I say, I really think Portland's progressive reputation does not really match its reality on the ground for a lot of people.
Amen to that.
You can get donuts. Yeah, there are some donuts with bacon on them, and that's
yeah.
a beautiful thing. And you know, there are food trucks and all of that.
Right. You can ride your bikes naked if you
yeah.
want, right? All that's
yeah,
all cool.
I love that.
Right.
But there are terrible facts
yes.
about mass incarceration and police brutality right there in Portland.
Yes.
That if you say you care about these things, you have to be fighting against those systems.
It's absolutely true. So when I'm talking to folks today, I'll tell them, so do you know that black folks are 28 times more likely to be charged and convicted of spitting on a sidewalk in Multnomah County?
Yeah.
Than any other population, right? And then once they're convicted, their fine is twice as much as anybody else's fine. And so when we pat ourselves on the back and say, well, at least we're not Ferguson, actually, we really are Ferguson. We operate an awful lot like Ferguson does. So we're going to bring Lisa and Jenna back in. We're going to check in because I know that we are doing great. The last time we talked, there was so much energy in the back room. I could hear people writing feverishly. And so who do we want to thank for calling 877-500-5266?
The list is making its way to us right now. I do have to stop a second and say sometimes we're here to ask you to make a contribution to this radio station, and sometimes the news that we bring to you is painful to hear.
Yes.
But it is important to put it out there.
Yes.
And I have a lot of concerns about how our mainstream media operates in our state and in our region, and that's part of the reason that we don't hear these stories. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this is our spring membership drive. I'm Lisa. I'm here with Jenna.
Good morning.
We're encouraging people to make a $20 per month contribution, and the number to call is 877-500-5266. Take it away, Jenna.
Well, we got some new members here. We got Jennifer, who just became a member of KBOO. Thank you. We have Janet, who's renewing from Eugene, giving a gift membership to an incarcerated person. Thank you so much, Janet.
Nice.
We got, I think it's Michael, who's renewing from North Portland. Heather, who's also renewing from Southwest Portland. And Dawn, a new member from Vancouver. All these people who really appreciate the discussion that's happening right now, the in-depth discussion. You know, here we have Sean King here on Voices of the Edge with Joanne Hardesty. And yes, they're talking about these larger national issues, but as they were just pointing out how much this actually applies to Portland. You know, all these issues that we're talking about very much ring true every time we see these national discussions. We can't help but think, oh, well, that's Portland. We aren't so far removed as Joanne was just saying. So, you know, if you feel the value of this discussion, you understand why it's so important that we see Portland in the larger context of police brutality. It's not just, oh, here's this one little incident, that we are part of the larger discussion. So give us a call, because that's the kind of discussion that you support. 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266.
All last year, I had the pleasure of working in the KBOO newsroom with Jenna and a whole crew of volunteers. And when Sean King announced the injustice boycott, we were mobilized.
All right.
We were mobilized. And we did a lot of coverage of that. And if you are unaware and you're listening to me right now, Sean King, as a columnist, a dad, an author, all these things that he does, he launched a great big civil rights movement last year and raised so much money for the activists at Standing Rock, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. It's thought-provoking. We've spent a lot of time wondering who is leading our progressive movements in this country, and it's really difficult to find leaders. But we try to cover this stuff in a way that we don't see in our once daily newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we don't even have a daily newspaper in Oregon anymore.
And, oh, back in the day, yes.
Yeah, 877-500-5266 is the number to call. It's really exciting that someone gave a gift membership to an incarcerated person. We're very close to the incarcerated communities at Sheridan and also at Coffee Creek.
Yes.
We actually have an entire show that does nothing but cover issues of incarceration. We have the other thing I want to say, 877-500-5266, is that we're talking with Sean King right now. We're talking about deep issues of, I would say, white supremacy in the United States, how it affects our lives today in a concrete manner. But coming up, we're going to have Press Watch. We're going to have Teresa Mitchell giving her commentary. We're going to have, later this morning, my beloved sister Jenny Forrester is going to be on these airwaves talking about her new novel, her new book, which is incredible. We're going to have, next week, we're going to be having Ralph Nader live. On Sunday night, Mike Crenshaw is going to be doing Beats and Rhymes Against Fascism. We broadcast. We bring a lot of stuff. We cover a lot of territory. And that's because you care about that. It's because we try to meet you where you're at. And that's why we need you to meet us and invest in this programming. Make us all a big us. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We'd love it if you come in person to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, because we still have some frozen toaster waffles.
Share a waffle.
We're just going to heat you up a toaster waffle, only the best quality Winco syrup and some actually genuinely truly delicious coffee. But we need you to come in person, 20 Southeast 8th, and we'd love to tempt you to be a KBOO volunteer as well. But let's give all the numbers and everything one more time and go back to Joanne and Sean.
It's 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm.
And back to you.
Thank you so much. I am so appreciative of all the new members, all the renewing members, and all the people who value community radio. Without community radio, I don't know where we would be today. And so, Sean, let's talk. What are we building here? What where do we go from here? I think you and I could spend the rest of the time talking about the challenges that we have ahead of us. But are you seeing movement? What are you seeing as you travel across the country? Are we building a movement? Are we still divided? What's happening?
Well, I think what we're seeing, and Joanne, I may have to go in just a few minutes.
No worries.
Pick up my kids.
No worries.
Early dismissal today.
Okay.
I think what we're seeing is that it's very difficult to turn an election into a movement, and particularly it's difficult to turn a failed election into a movement.
Yes.
Even
yes.
Barack Obama struggled to turn his own election into a meaningful movement that went beyond his election. And so what you see is millions, tens of millions of Americans now deeply frustrated, rightly so, with the election of Donald Trump, saying at first, the day after his election, what do we do about it? And what we're seeing is, for the past now 120 days of his presidency, people forming the basic structures of a real resistance.
Yes.
Some of what we're trying to do, some of it's going to work and some of it isn't. But I'm excited that I see people fighting back and organizing in cities all over America that have never done much more than vote just for president.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Your listeners there in Portland and people all over the country are saying, what do I do more than just vote? And so people they're joining organizations, they're donating to local and national organizations, and they're starting to actually get involved in local politics. They're running for office.
Yes.
I say all to say that we are nowhere near as organized as we need to be, but I think we are more organized than we've ever been. So I'm encouraged at the trajectory of where we're going, but I think my deepest fear is that in being so aggressively anti-Trump, which I agree with, that we fail to organize around issues that matter.
Yes.
And like Donald Trump is a huge part of our problem, but he is not our only problem.
That's right.
And his removal from office hardly fixes most of the problems that we have.
That's right.
And so, yes, I'm advocating his impeachment. I wish he would resign tonight.
Right.
But even if he did, a President Mike Pence is not a substantive improvement over who we have.
That's
so
true.
What I'm saying is we have to organize not just against Trump, but we have to find what it is we are fighting for.
Yes.
I think we've clarified who we're fighting against.
Right.
What are we fighting for? And I think that's what's next, Joanne.
I so agree with you. And in fact, one of the things that I hope happens in that time period is that there's an autopsy done of the Democratic Party, because I don't think Trump won. I think Hillary lost. There's a big difference, right?
I think a lot of studies are proving, and that's a painful admission.
Yes, it is.
And I have grace for people who are struggling to accept what that means, because it requires people to also look introspectively.
Yes.
But that type of deep search, that deep introspection has to happen. How exactly did we get here, and how do we ensure it never happens again?
Exactly right. If you have to go, I understand, Sean. Please promise me you will come back again.
Oh, I will. Yeah, I do have to run, but thank you so much for having me on, and I'm rooting for you, and I'm rooting for the station and the great work you all are doing.
Thank you so much, and you just keep being you, and I will just keep reading everything you write and looking for you the next time you're in Portland, but we'll definitely have you back on Voices from the Edge. Have a great day.
Thank you, now.
You're welcome. Take care. And let me let the listeners know what's coming up this morning on The Boo at 9 is Press Watch. Teresa Mitchell asked the question, will it be solidarity or catastrophe? Ooh, that's a good question. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoint with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Between the Covers, Pamela Santos welcomes Portland author Jenny Forrester in her memoir, Narrow River, Wide Sky, about her coming of age in rural America while navigating feelings of isolation, abuse, sexual assault, and a failed college attempt to forge a separate identity. Want to thank all our new, generous KBOO members and supporters. If you haven't become a member yet, you still have 6 minutes left in this program to do that. All you have to do is call 877-500-5266 and a membership will be yours. And we're going to bring Lisa and Jenna back into the conversation because I suspect they've got some thank yous and all that good stuff.
Hey, so I'm Lisa. I'm here with Jenna. We've had some wonderful flurry of phones activity here, but we need more. 877-500-5266. We want to thank Constance for renewing from Portland.
Yay!
Rock on, Constance.
Thank you, Constance.
But we also need more people to put some money on the table to support this radio station. 877-500-5266. We're encouraging people to make a $20 a month contribution to this radio station. For that $20 a month, we can front you a pair of tickets for the Chris Hedges Stop Fascism Tour. We can either give you tickets for his speech Friday, May 26th, or his Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco conversation event on Saturday, May 27th in the afternoon. Either of these for a $20 a month pledge. And I have to say, take your family to that. Take a kid to one of those things. I'm saying that. We had someone call and give a gift membership to an incarcerated person. Mm-hmm. We're encouraging someone to give us a call at 877-500-5266 to give a gift membership to Andrew McCabe. He's the interim FBI director. We have his office address. We think that he'd love to be a KBOO member. We're also encouraging someone to give a gift membership to Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler. We have his office address.
You could use one.
I can't say this enough. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is important work. 877-500-5266. Invest in this radio station, Jenna.
You know, something that I've really enjoyed about watching Sean King over the last year, as he was just saying, is how he has grown in his own activism, how he has grown in the type of discussion that he's having about, having more, shall we say, intersectional activism, where he's talking, where he raised a ton of money for Standing Rock in this last year. And, it just shows how activism is beyond just talking about the issues. It's also about understanding what powers movements. And you know what? Money is a part of fighting injustice and fighting oppression because, here at KBOO, it takes a little bit of money to keep the lights on and all that sort of stuff. Here we have volunteers like Joanne, who is a wonderful host, who's bringing us these type of guests, who's bringing us just these amazing in-depth discussions you know, that just bring all these national issues into our local focus. And
we just got news that a bunch of people have joined online as well to do that
on KBOO.FM. Real quick, though, if they want to call in, you can call at 877-500-5266.
So we want to thank Molly from Milwaukee.
Woo! Thank you.
Laura from North Portland. Richard, who listens during his morning commute.
Have a safe drive there.
Also, Runner Supreme, Southwest Portland. So they joined online, KBOO.FM. We love to see you in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th. We're about to go back to the programming, but again, this is the most important thing that you might do today, and we just want to strongly empower you to have a positive impact on your community. 877-500-5266. Last words?
Or you can go online, KBOO.FM, and join Molly, Laura, Richard, and Runner Supreme in becoming a member.
Thanks,
of KBOO
members.
Today. Thanks, 877-500-5266.
Love you, Lisa. Love you, Jenna. Thank you, KBOO members. Thank you, Sean King. See you next week. Same time, same place, same station. Have a great day.
And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station, in the middle of our spring membership drive. Give us a call and give us a pledge. We've got a busy Thursday morning coming up. Up next, Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell.
Tune into KBOO on Sunday, May 28th at 10 p.m. for a live broadcast of Thirsty City. Thirsty City is a monthly hip-hop night at The Know, and Sunday, May 28th will be a benefit for KBOO. Performers include Libretto, Mike Crenshaw, DJ Wicked, Burial Ground Sound, and many more. Again, that's Thirsty City, hosted by King Tim 33 and a third, Matt Fu, and Northern Draw, Sunday, May 28th, starting at 8 p.m. at The Know, 3728 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland, and also broadcast live at 10 p.m. on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.